Hello and welcome to Achievement Hunting 101. I'm Fufu Cuddly Poof, and this is level 267. Joining me tonight is Big L. Coach Moose.
Hello. I'm not going to do a Muppet voice.
Ah, that's what that was. And Rocker Dude.
Hello. Normal voice.
I was expecting something wrestling. Some sort of wrestling intro from you.
Well, you introduced him wrong.
Yeah, here we go. Here it is. It's going to be John Cena this week on Raw.
Where'd you go?
Done. Ta-da.
Oh, there's Corey.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Very good. Do-do-do-do.
I'm still here.
Hey, Umple Beast, what's up, brother?
John Cena has, the best intro.
Umple Beast survived the big hurricane in Florida the other day.
So big. As you can tell, this is our live show, so L will be talking randomly to people.
That's what we're supposed to do here, man.
I'm just letting them know, you know, the people in the future, which is really the present.
Which actually, I guess, speaking of Twitch chat, I love that Fug is like the blind one has new glasses. I have contacts. If you don't see me with glasses, I have contacts. Trust me, I need something.
I probably have the worst eyes here.
He's very contacts. Would beg the difference. He's very contacts.
Do you want to have a worst eye contest, man? Come on now.
Whoa.
How zoomed in is your doc right now?
You have the biggest glasses, so you have the worst eyes.
For the record, I don't have a doc.
I'm at 175% zoom in. I think you need to introduce. Not have to zoom
in. I think you forgot to introduce someone, Kenny.
No, I think I got everybody.
Oh, all right.
This is going swimmingly.
I have no idea.
Okay.
We haven't talked
about this. He already introduced me.
Old Bay.
Yes?
Old Bay. I got crabs this week.
You got crabs?
I got crabs.
Congrats on the sex.
They were delicious.
he consumed the crabs.
I consumed a lot of them. All right, I guess that's...
Golly.
All right, so...
They should compare this week to last week.
Last week was great. I don't know what you're talking about. All right.
Why? Because I wasn't here. It's not nice, guys. It's messed up.
We don't know what's going on either.
Rude, even.
It's just the smoothness.
We're just shooting a breeze for right now.
You are the peanuts to our crunchy peanut butter.
Who wants crunchy peanut butter? Smooth is better.
I like crunchy.
They have their own
texture
use cases. There's a perfect time for each one. That one has the jelly in it.
One Who's for, this? I guess, if you need more trash, you put the crunchy in.
Did we?
Let's get into the game showcase. We don't have a question for everyone this week, so let's just jump into the game showcase.
That's my question.
No one asked one. That's why.
Labor Day. Oh. That Labor Day happened.
Dude, Labor
That's
Day
why.
Screwed everything up.
All right, I'll ask a question.
I had a great Labor Day. Hope you had a great one, too.
I did.
I'll ask a question.
I got crabs.
Is there a you in labor?
No, of course not. This is America.
Okay, see. Okay, you win. Speaking of America, Snoop in chat says NFL starts. Yeah. Like, Kenny, you're the only one here that would care about that.
I was just about to ask Nate how his fantasy draft in for NFL went.
Yeah, pretty good.
Went great. There were no snags, no hiccups. Everyone showed up on time. It was perfect.
That sounds wonderful.
I like hiccups.
It's going to be an exciting National Foosball League this year.
Foosball.
Mm. Okay, yes. Let's get into some games. So,
games.
Let's see. Who do I want to go first?
Characters.
I want to hear from Nate first. Koosh, what have you been playing? And I ask you because I clicked on your game and I was watching some clips and I have no
idea
what
how to
this
pronounce
game
it.
Is.
Can you please say the name for me, Kenny?
Oh yes, please, Kenny. Oh yeah. Please introduce my game.
He has been playing The Making of Krakatoa.
Krakatoa, correct. So I've been playing a brand new game if you want to call it a game, we'll get to that in a second, called The Making of Karateka. And then if you...
I don't think that's right.
I don't say it like that.
Alternative pronunciations are Karateka.
Yes.
It's another one. But, so here's the deal. Let me tell you a little story about a guy named Jordan Mechner. Now, this guy made a lot of games. He made Karateka. He made Prince of Persia, the old one where you would jump and stuff. And it used that really smooth animation from using rotoscoping. So they would record somebody doing an action, then they would trace it, and then they would convert that into pixels. They would just then draw the little pixels based off of that. So they trace it once on the paper, and then they trace it once into like a pixel program to make the frames of animation. So what is The Making of Karateka? It is a documentary. It's like an application that has achievements. And basically it goes through and tells like five or six different chapters of Jordan Mechner's history leading up to and through the development of Karateka. So it talks about before he went away to college. Then when he went to college, I think he went to Yale. And while he was at Yale, he was writing programs. And then he got so into the programs that he was writing for the Apple II that he skipped class multiple times. And because he's such a geek, he was actually flowcharting or spreadsheeting the amount of time that he skipped classes, which classes he skipped, which one he skipped the most. I mean, that's the brain.
That sounds incriminating.
That's the brain. That we're talking about here. So it's very interesting to me, to olds, and maybe to other people, kind of like the history of an early pioneer in like the Apple II days, and then moving forward into some other games. They actually have like Ed Tobias or one of the Mortal Kombat guys.
He's Ed Boon.
Is Ed Boon? Okay, so Ed Boon is actually interviewed at one point. And there are other game developers that are being interviewed, and they're talking about the influence the Karateka had back when they first played it. So it is a combination of these recorded interviews in a timeline fashion, and then sometimes you get to a point on the timeline, and you can drop down and look for more information. You can see letters that he sent to like Broderbund, and Broderbund sent back. You can see detailed like drawings and like some of his planning that he was using when he was building these games originally. And then the cool thing is you actually get to play different builds of different games that that were in existence. So like when he was building the game before Karateka, it was kind of like an Asteroids type ripoff because that's how games used to be way back in the days. You would have Asteroids, and then you'd have like three different remakes. And mm-hmm. like instead of Pac-Man, I played Taxman on the Apple II. That sounds
somehow worse.
Yeah, but I mean it was Pac-Man, but it was called Taxman, I loved it. But so you can play like his first build of this game. You can then play a more polished version. So I think there's two main games in this. This I'm going to call it a game, The Making of Karateka, that you can play. There's this thing called Death Bounce Rebounded. So it's an updated version of a classic game that did exist. This did get published. And then you're going to play a couple different versions of Karateka. You're going to play like the original prototype for the Apple II. You're also going to be playing the Atari 8-bit version. You're going to be playing the Commodore 64 version. And then there's a Karateka remastered as well. And the achievements are not for watching videos, not for looking at a percentage of documents or reading these things or spending so much time in the thing. Everything that you get is for gameplay. And these games have like challenges built into them that don't one-to-one tie to achievements. But you do get achievements for completing all of the challenges for those different games. You also get achievements for doing things in the games specifically. Like I remember when I first played Karateka, the very first time you run into this eagle. So Karateka, if you don't know, the original game, you are a karate person, a karateka, if you will, and you can run. And when you're running, if you take any damage, you instantly die. So you have to like you have to get out of your running mode into karate stance mode, fighting stance mode. And the end boss, basically, he has kidnapped a princess, and you're going there to save the princess. And it's basically you're running from left to right. And as you're running, it's really kind of crazy. Like, I didn't think about it at the time, but as you're listening to these documentaries, they're talking about like how they built suspense, how they kind of like inform you. This game was really cinematic compared to the other things that were out at that time. They do this thing like they do in movies where they kind of like cut from one character to another character. So the next scene is a different character, and you'll have like the enemy running at you. You'll see that. You'll see him running, and then you'll see you running. And before you run into the guy, if you stop, it'll pan right back to him, and you'll see him running again. But if you keep running, you'll eventually see a health bar show up. That's your sign to, okay, stop going to karate stance, and then we're gonna fight. You know, and you can kick high, kick medium, kick low. You can punch high, punch medium, punch low. And you can back foot forward. You like kind of step backwards or kind of step forward. But if you go back into that running stance, that's how you cover a lot of ground. It's the fastest way to the end of the level. Every time you beat somebody, you want to go as fast as you can, get to the next thing. But the end boss has an eagle. And as you're running, you'll hear like this eagle screech. And the first time you're playing, you have no idea what's going on. You're just like, oh, eagle. And then the eagle comes out of the right side of the screen and bam, you're dead. Because you're in running stance, he hits you, game over. Like there's no do-over. Like, go, okay, you're starting the whole thing. There's no like, oh, let's just back it up. I'll just do the whole thing again. Now, in this version, at least in the prototype, you can actually hit the left trigger to kind of rewind time to get the timing right to hit the bird. And then same thing with an enemy. If you run into an enemy's punch, when you're in running mode, boom, you're dead. And actually, the very first time, here's the spoiler, but it's very funny. When you get to the end, you've killed all the guys. You get into the final boss fight. You kill him. You then go in to see the princess. You might just run up to the princess. And if you do that, she punches you and you die. Like, you have to bow to the princess first. And, like, the very first time you get there, you beat everybody. You're like, oh, man, this is great. This is great. And you run in there and the princess just punches you in the throat and you're dead. And you have to do it all over again and remember to bow to the princess. There's an achievement for that, number one. There's an achievement for getting killed by the princess. There's an achievement for getting killed by the bird. There's an achievement for falling off. Yeah, falling off the hill right after you climb up. It's these are things that I did back in the day that I'm like, oh man, that's hilarious. And now there's an achievement for it. So as an old who remembers this game fondly, this thing's awesome. I am actually sitting there and watching everything. I'm about 4 out of 6 chapters through. I've watched everything. I've looked at all the notes. I've looked at like the little clips of like them recording like a karate master, like their sensei or whatever. They recorded him doing punches and kicks. Like I said, and then they used that rotoscoping to kind of trace it, turn it into to 8-bit graphics, which was revolutionary at the time. And super cool. Like, I'm very excited to play this. It's right now it's like $20. It's a bit steep, but if you have any interest, if you have any interest in Karateka specifically, or Jordan Mechner, or just the history of gaming, this is pretty cool. And when it gets to the right price, I recommend picking it up. For me, $20 is steep, but I get to play the old Karateka. Before they had like a 360 version of it. I think it was a 360 version. That's not it. It's like a completely different version. There's three different playable characters. And they don't play exactly the same as Karateka. So for me, this is a great way to go back and get that dose of nostalgia playing this game.
1984.
How dare you? We don't bring years. Before, we don't bring years into this.
Before half of us were born. I've dived this game. I am a couple chapters in. I'm reading everything, listening to the videos with commentary, and it is really great. I like video game history, especially, so that's what draws me in. I have no nostalgia for this game or knowledge there of it, or Deathbound, but it is a really cool concept, and it's by the same people Digital Eclipse, who have recently done Atari 50th anniversary or whatever.
They've done a ton of old game
remakes. Which that's got a lot of praise for with its history of those games. They also did the TMNT collection. And in there, like, they had every box art, like the real thing, scanned in. And this is like, this is similar to that. Like, the notes you're reading are like the real notes that the guy made back in the day, scanned in. And it's just, it's a really cool way.
That's crazy he even has them. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's probably a pack rat when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah. And it's pretty funny the way he, I mean, a lot of the interviews are him talking to his dad, who,
he's not that old of a dude.
I guess not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, his dad, I guess was like an engineer or something like that. But also was a pretty good pianist and composer. So his dad actually made the music for the game. And the funny thing about the game is the Apple II at the time, the processor couldn't animate graphics and play music at the same time. And I didn't know that. And going back and watching, they would actually stop the animation, play a little bit of music, and then continue. And there's actually one other part. Yeah, there's this one other part near the end where I think his name is Akuma, which means demon. And he sends the princess into her cell, and it's like, it's playing a little bit of music. He then quickly points his hand, and the music stops. The music stops, he points his hand, the music picks right back up again. I was just like, oh, that's really dramatic. But that's how they had to do it. And it doesn't play music. It plays a single note at a time, and it really is just a beep at a different frequency. So, like, they had to program all that music in as different beeps at different frequency. It's not really music. It's crazy what they had to do back in the day to get this to work and to come off as cinematic as it was at that time. Nowadays, you know, we've got multi-core processors and stuff, and things going on all over the place. Back in the day, this thing could only handle so many operations at a time, and that was just something that they had to trade off. Like, animation, do you want animation or do you want sound? And so it's pretty crazy how he made this work.
So I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a couple. First one is, I've never heard of this thing, which is not be surprising.
Karateka or the making of Karateka?
Both.
Okay.
Was this like a big time game back in the day or something like that?
Yeah, this was an influential game to a lot of people.
Okay.
Just because of how different it was from everything else that was out there at the time.
Okay.
It was definitely revolutionary.
I mean, it sounds like, and assuming, I mean, they made a whole video game that's a documentary for this thing. So I assumed as much that it was like a big name game, revolutionary. I've never heard of this. I've never even seen it. This box art is crazy.
I want to say it was the first ever beat 'em up.
I don't know about that. Maybe. There was like Karate Showdown or whatever it was called. What was that karate game called? It might have just been called Karate back then.
Kung Fu.
Yeah, Kung Fu. Yeah.
8 frame per second capacity.
Yeah.
I'm on the wiki now. This is actually really interesting. So just so I understand this correctly, and I think, and I make sure I have it. So the way that the game goes, it shows a little bit of a documentary, and then it takes you into the gameplay of the original game.
If you want to follow along with the story, yes, there's a timeline mode that you can look at where it's like, gives you a little bit of story, kind of goes along the timeline. You might have design documents. You might have an interview. You might have a playable demo. You can also just jump straight to the playable stuff. Like, from the main menu, you can say, just take me to the games. Or you can say, show me this timeline, play these chapters in order, and just kind of give me the information, and then let me go play the thing. So you have your option of picking. If you just want to jump straight in, get the achievements, get out, you can do that. If you want to, learn and, pick up some stuff, or maybe just browse, you can totally do that. And you have your option. You're not tied to it. You don't have to do this before that and jump straight into Karateka. You don't have to do the first game first, which is not a whole lot of fun. It's really basic, because that's how games were. Number one, they were before, they used to be written in BASIC, but so they are BASIC and they're BASIC. You can do either.
I'm very interested in this. like Corey said, I enjoy video game history. I watch a bunch of stuff on like YouTube and whatnot. So this is actually interesting to me. And I'm watching the clips. The fighting portion looks bleh, but they do have like the shoot 'em up bullet hell type area. And it's like, oh, that actually looks kind of fun.
Yeah. It's a little bit like Asteroids. I mean, that's what it was based off of, and he kind of modified it. And there's actually, like, if you go and you do the timeline, you can see the back and forth with Broderbund, who he was trying to get to publish the game. They're kind of telling him, oh, you know, it's a little simplistic. We can tell that you're, you know, doing some really cool things. But why don't you try this? And, like, you know, there's not a whole lot of variety, and things never really change, you know, and just changing the color and type of enemy is not enough. Like, you should have a spaceship fly through or something like that. Just kind of show up. It's crazy to see back then what like a publisher was telling a game developer they needed to do or they should do. So that part's really fun. Just reading their interaction between developer and publisher.
It's not a cakewalk with achievements that I could tell.
Yeah.
So there is that. So you do get some game out of it, where some, you know, you'll have to develop a little bit of skill.
Yeah, there's a bit of challenge, but there's good solutions already for all of the, I don't know about all the achievements, but a bunch of the achievements that kind of give you an idea of, okay, you can do this, you know, to get this really hard one, you're going to want to try this method. Which is really good. I don't know. I haven't played the more formal versions of Karateka yet to see if they have the rewind, the time rewind as well. They might. I only ever played the prototype. The prototype did let you back up. So I don't know if the other ones have that as well or if you have to get good at the game.
So I think my last question for now, is this like a remake, so it's, or not remake, but more like a remaster, or is it like plays like the original, you know, 8 frames a second?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the prototype plays like the prototype. There's a ton of lag.
Oh, you said prototype there. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you
there actually. There is a remastered version in it, though.
There's a remastered version. Let's just say, once again, I haven't played that one. I don't know how smooth that one is.
Yeah, you said that.
When you're playing the prototype, it plays probably a lot like the Apple version did. I remember a lot of slowdown. Yeah, I remember a lot of slowdown when you went through these gates. And it was like really laggy when you're having that fight at that last gate near the final boss. And it was kind of increases the tension because you're just like, oh crap, like I can't make any mistakes because, you know, once I make a move, like it's in there. Like there's no time for me to react. It's, you know, it's kind of cached and the move's going to play out and everything's, you know, laggy. So, but thankfully there is that rewind, at least in the prototype. I don't know if it's in the main, maybe it's there, but I'm going to play some more. I'm just chipping away at it. There's a few games out right now. So time's kind of at a premium.
Yeah. There's a lot out. And it's only going to get worse.
But yeah. So that was the making of Karateka, and, I dig it.
Yeah. This looks really cool. I actually kind of like this. I'm interested in that. I don't really get into old games, but it having a little bit of history in it, it's like, all right, that's cool.
Did you get a sense of the difficulty of it?
What do you mean?
Like, do you think this is completable?
I think it's
completable. Are you going to be the first to complete this game?
No, because nope. There's some people have already completed it.
Oh, the first people.
Oh, wow.
I mean the first person we know.
Yeah, maybe. There's 4 completions right now. There's 121 starters. It's possible. I mean, like I said, there's about 3 million games to be playing right now. So I'm kind of bouncing from thing to thing. I'm not really focusing this on this one right now.
No, this is better than the other thing.
Absolutely not.
Oh.
But there's a lot of stuff. There's not just the one thing. There's multiple things. So but we'll get to that. And yeah, is it tough? In some ways, yes. In other ways, like the gamer that I am now just recognizes patterns that I didn't recognize when I was 5 or 8 or however old I was back when I was playing that. Let's see, 80? When did it come out?
1984.
So, all right, so I was like 9 years old. So
it turns 40 next year.
Yeah, so do I? I mean, I think it's completable, yeah.
Does it let you rewind or anything like that, save state?
On the prototype, you can rewind. Mm-hmm. I don't know about a save state. I didn't see anything save state-wise. Okay. But at least on the prototype, you could back up time by hitting left trigger. I do not know if that holds true for the other Karateka ones.
I would be shocked if you couldn't. Like I said, these are the same people that made the TMNT collection. You could do all of that then. That just seems like an opportunity that they would not let pass up.
Okay.
But that would just, you know, add to the skill that needed.
Yeah. I mean, I beat the game when I was 9. I'm probably sure that it. So, yeah. I'm confident.
All right. Anybody else got anything to add to that? All right.
Nope.
I like karate.
Nice. All right.
Karate.
What the fuck played this game? He's in chat saying he played it on the Apple IIe. Anyone who doesn't know what that is young.
Yes. I assume it's the one of those big boxy square computers that looks like the Apple II.
Yeah, those are good days. Carmen San Diego, Oregon Trail, and Print Shop.
Yeah, I've never seen one of them in real life.
Sounds right.
All right. I'm going to go ahead next. And I'm going to get my crappy game out of the way. So, last week, if you listen to last week's podcast, at the very end, when it was very late at night, Nate and Corey decided to tell me that there was an idle game that I should be playing. And I went, ooh, I love idle games. So yes, let me check this out. And after we got off the chat, off the call, I decided to pick it up and immediately got sucked in. I really like idle games, even though this one kind of sucks. So the game that they told me to play is DPS Idle. First of all, that name is wrong. It should be RNG Idle. Because this idle game has a ton of RNG in it. At least gets the idle part. Let's see. So DPS Idle, even if idle games aren't really your thing, management games aren't really your thing, this is an easy completion. Lots of RNG. Your mileage may vary on how long it takes you to complete it. But it's an easy completion. It takes no real skill, no real hassle at all. So the way the game plays is much like if you play Clicker Heroes, that's probably the one that everyone here or most people listening will have played and know. You first start off and you have to click on the monster to do damage. You know, each click does one damage every time you click it. Eventually you kill it, you get some money, rinse and repeat until you're able to open a chest. And then when you open a chest, you then out of, I want to say, about 25, 30 different cards that you have, you just get a random card. And whatever card you get, it has some sort of monster attached to it that does X amount of DPS a second. So now you can stop clicking, because clicking in this game is absolutely pointless when you don't have to click on anything. It does so little damage. The hook of this game, much like every other idle game, is everything just exponentially grows. You know, you start off doing one damage, and 15 minutes later, you're doing millions of damage a second, and monsters have hundreds of millions of damage, and you have to manage the different monsters and cards and whatnot to be able to do more damage and overcome before you hit a wall. Every time you kill a monster, a new one spawns. And it's a little bit stronger, so eventually you get to the point where it just takes forever in order to kill them. So then what you do is you restart your progress, and depending upon how much gold you've collected, you get a bonus, and now the next time you go in, all the gold that you collect is now multiplied by that bonus, and then you're able to go a little bit farther, and you restart, then you go farther and restart, rinse and repeat until you complete the game. Now, as for the achievements on this one, a lot of them are really like straightforward, where you know you just kill
300 monsters.
Yeah, kill 300 monsters, do 100 million DPS, join the guild. The guild is what you need that to do, or you need to join it in order to restart your progress. A lot of it is very straightforward, really easy. The RNG achievement that's very annoying is the Lucky Amplifier achievement, which is to boost the card to 4. So, much like how when you open a chest and you get a random monster to let you start doing some damage, there's also a boost for any monster that you have or have not completed, or that you have not unlocked yet. When you upgrade, when you select a boost, it just randomly applies like an upgrade to it, or what you might think of maybe like a promotion from another game. And this achievement, like it says, boosts a card to 4, is you need to get 4. Did I mention that there's like 25 or 30 monsters? There's RNG involved in this thing. You have absolutely no control over it. You just have to collect a lot of leaves. That's the currency, for whatever reason it's a leaf. That's a currency that you need to collect.
For the first chest, it's a leaf.
Yes, for the first one, it's a chest. That's probably the one that you're going to get it on. I didn't. I somehow got it on the more difficult one. I don't know. Redemption and I both did that. You whatever the currency is to upgrade the monsters, you just have to hope to collect a whole bunch of them, upgrade a bunch of monsters, and if you get it, cool. You know, Jable's in chat right now making fun of me because it was like his second or third achievement that he unlocked, whereas it took me forever to get.
We literally got done playing Diablo on our Friday session, and we talked about it, and we normally don't hang out and party afterwards. Everybody leaves, but we all did, and it was like 20 minutes, and he's like, I just got it. We're like, what? Yeah, it's a difficult achievement, because I don't know if you mentioned it, every time you boost, it costs more and more to boost another card. The boost is harder to get each time.
Yeah, I didn't mention that yet. But yeah, everything that you unlock or that you open, if you open the chest or boost something, it then costs a little bit more, and then a little bit more, a little bit more, to the point where you cannot upgrade it no more. Now, what made it really an undoubt, I didn't mention this before, but there's an Xbox version and a Windows version, so there is a stack. I have completed both of them since then. What is annoying about the Xbox version is all of these games, every time you restart, your boost is supposed to stack. So if you first time you get a 500% boost, and the next time you get 1,000, you're supposed to have a 1,500% boost. There's not a bug, I think it's just coded wrong on the Xbox version for whatever reason, to where that doesn't stack. So you could actually lose progress from restarting instead of gaining progress, which made this even more difficult. On the Windows, however, you don't have that bug. So theoretically, as you play it more, you're able to collect more currency, so you have more shots at getting it. It's I don't know how long you guys.
You might as well just say it, what they're saying in chat.
Okay, fine. It's a bug, whatever. Shut up.
Something's coded wrong. It's a bug.
I don't know. I'm not a developer. In my head, it's different.
Okay.
I don't know. I can't explain. In my head, it's different, but whatever. It's a bug. I don't know how long. I know Koosh and Corey, you guys have both played this game. I know on the Xbox version, it took me over 2 hours to complete. On the Windows version, it took me a little over an hour to do. So like, it took me an entire hour more to do the stupid Xbox version because I was just getting unlucky with this. I could not get 4 to pop. Like, there was At one point, I had three different monsters with three boosts on them. Could not get the fourth.
Yeah, so I played the Xbox version kind of naturally until that was my last achievement. And then it took me like, I don't know, five resets to get what I needed. So I got kind of lucky. I still played it, over 2 hours, I think. The Windows version, however, that's the achievement I started with. Because there's a little bit of a strategy on how to get a ton of leaves. So that's all I did. And it still ended up being my last achievement, which I noticed it wasn't yours. So congrats on that. But yeah, it just depends on what you get, man. What RNG likes to give you.
So, like I said, it took me a little over 2 hours to complete this stupid game on the Xbox. Like I said before, Jables was mocking me because of how long it was taking me. I just looked it up. It took him 44 minutes to complete the Xbox version.
That's really fast.
That's super fast. He got super lucky on that to be able to get that quickly.
Yeah, I was playing both versions at the same time when it first came out. And so I was just like doing a little bit over here, doing a little bit over here, looking at my phone. So it looks like it took me 3.5 hours on the Windows version. And of course, it took me longer on the Xbox version. It took me 3 hours, 57 minutes. But that was with figuring out, okay, well, why aren't these achievements popping? Well, because the game has got a feature in it, not a bug, a feature that requires you to reboot the game before some achievements will pop. Like, they will only pop when you restart the game.
Yes.
That's a feature. You know, it makes you want to come back and play more. See, that's how they get you.
Yeah, the... When it comes to idle games, this one's kind of okay. Oh, I forgot to mention, it's free, so that makes this game much better.
I was just going
to
ask, yeah, okay.
Like, if I had to pay for this, it would be a lot worse, because, like, I really like idle games. I don't like this one that much. I don't like the RNG aspect to it. It's different. I don't like it.
So, since it's free, what are they trying to get you to do? Buy random things to make things easier?
Oh my god, they have so much for sale. I mean, it's
there's a currency that you earn in the game, but you can also buy that currency.
Yes.
So, and Fufu was talking about the different tiers of cards. Like, there's the brown tier, and then there's the silver tier. So brown is actually probably bronze. There's the bronze tier, silver tier, and then you can upgrade the cards. So you can take that bronze card, you can turn it into a silver card. You can take that silver version, eventually turn it into a gold. So we're
never get to the gold
touching
version.
The tip of the iceberg in terms of what's actually there in this game to play. There's like exponential gameplay left. You know, there's like three, I think there's like four different tiers of cards, and you only do the first two. You can technically do the third if you want to do the daily stuff. That we didn't even touch. It wasn't required by the achievement. So, of course, we're done. It's uninstalled. Yeah. But if they ever came back around and started, you know, plopping more achievements in farther along the progression, yeah, there's a whole lot more game that they could do that for.
Yeah, if they were going to be mean, they could be mean with achievements.
And I was going to bring this up. Have you looked who's published this game?
I have not.
So it's Desert Water Games. You might know them from such gems as Explorer of the Night, 50 Years... Shiro, Obscurity, Balatron. These all have 3,000 to 4,000 gamer score at the moment.
But they don't make you go that far into the game. They just make you jump 20 times. So it could be, restart the game five times.
50 years, like they wanted you to do that whole tree. You know, every time they added like level 3 on each one, level 4.
No, that is true.
Like, I mean, is it the possibility is there.
It could happen.
But you're right. Normally they do milk it.
I mean, but those games, you at least have a cost to them. They're not free. This is free. Clearly, they want you to buy their currency. So, I don't know. If they want to be mean with the achievements, they absolutely could.
Right now, I haven't uninstalled it until like I launch it and maybe like grab whatever daily thing is there just in case.
Yeah. I wish I would have known that. I'll probably re-download it and just make it a daily. Just grab the daily stuff because, every other
maybe
game
once
that
you pass
have,
like 6 months or something, maybe you're in the clear.
Yeah.
Maybe not even that long, but the possibility to be really painful is there.
I mean, I could see them adding more achievements to this very easily. And it could be something as simple as, well, it won't be simple, but it could be. So in game, there's actual challenges and achievements. And some of them are for like joining four guilds. The first guild costs like 1 billion gold in order to get to. The fourth one costs, I don't even know what the notation would be. It's something,
Q.
Like a one and then like 50 zeros behind it, much gold. So like if they want to add that to it, that's going to take forever to get. They might just make it to where, hey, kill 1,000 monsters or something like that, which would have to be done in one run. It's not, it doesn't add up amongst all your runs. Every time you start over, any progress that you have in the challenges reset. So like 1,000 monsters will be doable, a little bit difficult. Who knows?
Don't give them any ideas. Being free is the worrisome part for me.
Yes.
Because, I mean, why wouldn't you put something into all of a sudden make a, you know, 7,000 people want to spend a little bit of money?
Yep.
Are you implying Jable spent $400 Canadian to complete this game in an hour?
No, I think he legitimately had Canadian luck on his side.
Lucky.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah.
Canadian luck.
Luck.
Not hit
by
a moose.
You really can't spend money to get the lucky amplifier cheat. I mean, I guess technically you could, because you can just keep spending money to keep increasing your DPS.
Right. You still have no control over it.
Yeah. I mean, you could theoretically get like 3 boosts on every single monster and then get the fourth. Like, that is a possibility. But yeah, DPS hero. I mean, if TA is anything to go by, it's got a 2.5-star rating. That's probably about fair. I like idle games. I just saw that there's a whole bunch coming to Xbox.
Those are not idle games. Those are management.
Oh, they are management.
I would call them management games.
Okay.
The Kairosoft games. Most popular for Game Dev Story, which is... You find it on your phone, and it's on like every other platform. So,
yeah, I remember seeing them. I thought they were idles. I've never actually played them. They look like idle games.
Yeah, it's going to be more of a, at least with Game Dev Story, because I do have experience with it. Like, you pick your genres, and you hire developers that have more experience than other ones, and you have to manage a budget. And then you release the game and you get a score and people buy and you get more money to make more games. So it's definitely great. Management. Yeah. It's really, that one is fantastic. I can't speak to the other ones that are coming, and they already said they're going to bring even more.
Cool.
But Game Dev Story is really fun.
I like it. But yeah, either way, I like my idle games. This was okay enough to wet that whistle. Like, I really want like Clicker Heroes 2 on Xbox or something like that. Like, if they were to bring over, if devs were to start bringing over mobile ports and we were to get like all the merge and the idle crap, I'd be okay with it. I'm down for a whole bunch of these games. But yeah, if you like idle games, play it. It's an easy completion if nothing else. You can get an easy 2,000 gamer score off this thing. These things, I should say. And like I said before, they're free. But yeah, that was DPS Idle. I assume nobody has anything else to add to that. All right.
No, nothing else.
In that case,
Gary,
I want to hear from L. We're going to save Rocker for last because he's been playing the big one.
Ooh. Are we having a competition for crappiest game, Kenny?
If we are, I will just assume that you will win.
You're wrong.
Actually, I take that back because your game has like almost an entire star rating more than mine. So
I played a decent game, but it's a puzzle game. So dumb people, don't listen to this. I played A Fold Apart. which is a unique little puzzle game, a little indie game where you control two different characters who have a long-distance relationship. And in the beginning, you can choose, so it's the red character and the blue character. So you can make one the man, one the woman, one the woman, one the man, two men, two women, whatever you want. And then they have a relationship, and it's a long-distance relationship. So they're texting each other the entire time. So they do try to put a story into this game. And they're, you know, trying to make their relationship work. And while you're doing this, you're walking around and you get puzzles. And this is the meat of the game. And you're basically playing on a piece of paper. So there's a star you need to reach. And to get the star, you need to fold the paper. So with the right stick, you fold the left side of the paper or the right side of the paper. And then with the bumper, you flip the paper to the other side. So it's actually really unique and clever. So you wind up flipping the paper and moving your character around with the analog until you eventually reach the star, and then you move on with the story. And so far, I've done two chapters, and it's pretty easy so far, but I believe it's going to get harder. But I'm trying to play legit. I unfortunately learned of a cheat you could do.
Heck yeah.
this is up your alley. I went to look at the solutions just to see how long this game might be. And there's a 5-minute video from Bills. I'm like, oh, it's a 5-minute video. And he basically shows you that during any of the videos, you can pause it and go to show hint. And then it basically just does a step of the puzzle for you. And then if you keep going to show hint, it basically takes you to the end of the puzzle, and then you could just touch the star. But that's no fun, but, you know, I'm not one to judge people. So if that's what you have to do to beat it, by all means, I suppose. So this was published by Lightning Rod Games. I don't think they've done anything else. But, you know, it's a nice little game. It's $10. You can find it on sale for $5. That's where I'd grab this one. It's like I said, you know, it's very unique. And there's a story. Definitely there. Unique. So I don't. Yeah, you're looking at clips of it. It's very weird.
Yeah.
You're folding papers. It's like some origami stuff going on. Yeah,
I
wish
I
was set
up so I could actually show this. It's definitely unique.
Yeah. And then when you touch the star, it's reminiscent of Kirby touching a star. You like hear that same kind of sound effect. Now, TA shows it as 1 to 2 hours, and I suppose that's because of the cheats. Because I definitely put around an hour and a half into the first two chapters. And there's 5 or 6 chapters. So, I don't know. I plan on trying to go legit. So once I use that first hint, that's trouble. The game also had DLC or a title update. I think it's... I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's marked as a title update.
Does this cost money? Okay. They call it DLC, but I don't see a place to buy it. It must be free. So they gave 2 bonus chapters. But it's only worth 100 gamer score for the 2 chapters. So it's not one of these 2,000, 3,000 gamer score games. So,
did they add more story in those chapters, or was it just puzzles?
I assume so.
Oh, that's right.
I haven't gotten there yet. Sorry. Haven't gotten there yet. Yeah. But I will tell you that I was the 1,337th player to start this game.
Leet.
Which makes me leet, yes. I'm glad you know what I'm talking about, Kenny.
Something like else that's interesting is that there's 152 votes on this game. That seems really high. Why do you think people would be inclined to vote? Do you think it was just that good?
I think it's just the uniqueness of it. My one qualm is the music. It's just one of those where it's the same song repeating over and over while you're trying to solve this puzzle. And I'm usually a...
Nobody listens to music.
Well, they're making it so no one listens to music, so I put on my own soundtrack for this one. I love music in video games, man. That's my stuff.
This looks like something you might like, Nate.
I'm surprised. Yeah, it is. I assumed you would have...
I'm sure it is. I may already own it, yes.
Watch, he's probably talked about it on like a sales like a few weeks ago.
I'm pretty sure I have recommended it before without playing it, just because of how good it looked.
I don't think Corey's done this one.
No, it's not crossed my path yet.
Let's see. How much is this game? $10.
Yeah. I mean, that's a fair price if you're playing legit, of course, but
it's been $5 before.
It was $5 a couple weeks ago, so.
Oh, that's right. You did say that. You got it for $5.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you know something's been $5, it's hard to recommend it at 10, but it's not an obscene price.
Especially when there's so many games out.
Yeah. That's how it goes. All right, well.
Not my kind of game, but this looks interesting enough.
Yeah, I'll report back next week. I got to complete this one. Trying to complete the games I start. There's too many in the backlog.
Well, looking at the achievements, it doesn't look difficult. Oh, yeah. It looks like just playing through the game to get you at all.
There's nothing missable. Yeah, it's just complete all the chapters, and all the secret achievements are secret for literally no reason. I guess they're minor plot spoilers. There's minor plot spoilers. But they're not missable. You get the 1,000 just for playing, and then the 250G bonus chapters.
And you said you've already gotten 4 chapters done?
I did 2 chapters. Two achievements. The gamer score is kind of weird. Like, they're worth 150G each for the chapters. And you get 225G achievements just for basically starting the game up. There's one that starts right. I know you like to track this, Kenny. There's one that pops immediately when you press start.
Wow. Okay. So
if you're a diver, this one's quick to dive.
Good to know.
That should be a flag. You should have a flag for press start.
Any fan of puzzle games would like this. I'm pretty sure.
You're probably right. Faulty diver.
I have a lot of friends who played this game. 51 friends.
Easy completion.
I suppose so. Nice one. Oh, right. I liked it. Faulty diver indeed.
All right. Well, there's nothing else to say about that.
For the main event.
I want to hear all about what Corey has been playing.
From the megastar.
I wonder how long you've actually played the game.
All right, so talking about Starfield, and it's fine. Jealous. All right, bye.
No!
I will tell you, I do not know everything about this game. There's a ton of stuff I don't know, and can't be close to experiencing it. And I have, I don't know, about 12 hours in the game.
Oh, so you just started.
Well, I'm like three or four main missions deep. My typical, so the way I typically play, or at least I have been with this one, is I'm doing like a main mission and then a couple of side missions. I've done a little bit of exploring on my own, but let's back up and kind of talk about what the game is. It is a true RPG in what I consider the Skyrim Elder Scrolls style, right? It's just kind of like Skyrim in space is the easy way to put it. I guess no, there's not been any bugs. And I don't have any experience with Skyrim. It's not like Elder Scrolls stuff is not my, what do you call it? It's not genre, but like not my style. Like the, what is it, medieval? Is it probably not even medieval, right? Fantasy?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you said.
Like Skyrim or Elder Scrolls.
So you don't like the high setting. Fantasy.
High fantasy. I don't really do that. So it's never
that's my favorite.
It's never really like come across as something that's very entertaining to me. I have played Fallout 4. It's the only Fallout game I've played. And I can see the similarities, obviously. But I think this is way more comparable to Skyrim from what I've seen. You're going and talking to everybody. It really feels like you're just a person in this world that is going on with or without you. Right. I don't get that sense in Fallout. I'm sure some people do, but the closest Fallout comparison is there's guns in Fallout. There's no guns in Elder Scrolls. So when you think about Starfield, you think gunplay. And so far in the very beginning of the story, like I'm not going to spoil anything. It starts off slow, but then it picks up like really quick. It's almost jarring. It's almost jarring in a sense. From where you start the game to where you are like an hour in and what your role in this campaign is going to be. And so once you get that kind of under your belt, you at that point is when you get your first achievement for going into space. So that's like at least an hour in. Maybe quicker if you like speed ran it. But if you're just taking it in, it's probably going to take you at least an hour. And in that hour, you're going to basically get a little bit of gunplay. That's kind of it. You also will build a character. I typically don't spend a lot of time in character creation, but that is obviously a big deal in these type of games.
Yeah.
So I went through every option. No, I didn't spend a ton of time. It was like 15 minutes. And I made what is I think it looks like me a little bit. So nothing show crazy. My RPG name. I'll post a picture. My RPG name is E-Rock, which is Corey backwards. So nothing earth-shattering there. But there is a ton of options, obviously, with building your character. Now, the things that I don't like about the character creation are what actually change the game. You have to pick a background. And
I like that
it gives you, you know, a perk here or there. I can't remember what they all are. There's at least a dozen, and they'll help you out in different ways. So it depends on how you want to play the game. It will depend on what you pick. I picked one that I do remember called Ronin, and I picked that purely based off Ninja Turtles. And it is basically saying, you're going to play the game kind of stealthy, you know, you get kind of boons for playing stealthy. You also get to pick three character traits. Again, you have at least a dozen, maybe 20 different traits you could pick from. Some of them cancel out the other ones. So you can't pick like introvert, which gives you a boost if you don't have a crew member with you. And you if you pick that, you can't pick extrovert, which is where you get a boost if you have somebody with you, right? Things like that. And there's a bunch of those. The problem I have is some of those, like you will not know what some of them mean, because like some of them are tied to factions that you obviously don't know exist in the game. So I think I picked one, but I don't even remember which one I picked. I can't figure out how to tell. And then one I do remember is I picked a hero worshiper, which is where an adoring fan comes up and gives me gifts randomly.
I love that he's in this game. That made me so excited when they showed.
Usually there's a positive and a negative. So the negative is he'll come up and just talk to you inconsistently or whatever, randomly. That hasn't happened yet, but I have met him at least in this playthrough. I know there's one where you can start out with a really fancy house, but you start out with debt. So I didn't know how money management would work in the game, so I didn't pick that one. There's one where your parents are alive, and they might give you like a better starting gun. I don't know. It's funny things like that kind of
so cool.
Yeah, so you can really like cater this thing to fit your needs. In hindsight, I picked a really bad combination because I picked extrovert because I figured I'd have a crew member with me at all times. And so far I have. The problem is, I told you I picked Ronin background, so I'm trying to be stealthy. Do you know how hard it is to be stealthy when your crewmate just runs up and doesn't duck and just starts shooting? It helps me in no way possible. So that's character creation, kind of getting into the game. And then as soon as you kind of get the gunplay under, they put you in a spaceship. It feels very simulation-y. Where you have to put power into your lasers, your missiles, and your shields, and your engine, and then you're like your grav jump thing, which is how you get from planet to planet. This part, it kind of starts to lose me because that's not me, right? I'm not trying to control my ship all the way to where I'm fine-tuning it for like dogfighting and stuff like that, which you get a little taste of. Luckily, you don't have to be in your ship that much. You will have to use it to transport, you know, yourself and cargo to wherever, but you can fast travel to get places where you don't have to do all that. It is entirely doable to go from these planets to another one. I saw where there was an article, a streamer actually went from one planet, I think in our solar system, to Pluto. I don't remember which one. Yep. Maybe Mars, yeah, to Pluto, no, or something. Pluto. And they literally spent 7 hours doing it. So
I love that. Oh my God.
I love that it's there, but I love that I can just fast travel to these things.
Yes.
What else? It's very typical to what I remember Fallout being, probably Elder Scrolls. You go in, yes, and you can literally loot everything. Like, I can pick up a notepad, and like literally its only job is I can sell it for like 3 credits. So I'm not going to pick it up, but it is littered across this game. And so I'm going right now, I'm going in every room. However, I've hit like the resource capacity carrying limit, which, it's not really a hard limit. Once you are encumbered, you spend a lot more oxygen, which after so long, you run out of oxygen. You have to either stop to regain it or you start losing health until you can remove said inventory that you are over the limit. So I'm kind of at that limit before. I haven't increased it. There are ways to do that, obviously, but you have to manage things like the helmet you're wearing, the spacesuit. There's like a boost pack, all your healing aids, resources, and your weapons. And so all of that combined doesn't give you a lot of wiggle room. So right now I'm like picking up resources and things that can sell for a lot of money. And then, yeah, you're just going on these missions, whether it's a main mission or a side mission or just exploring. And if you come across enemies, you take out your gun, shoot, go normal gun gameplay, or you can try to be stealthy. Again, stealth has not worked for me so far, so I wish I could speak more to it. And that's kind of where I'm at with this game. Like, I'm trying to progress at a somewhat quick pace with the story, but I'm also trying to, experience these side quests too. I do know if I get too carried away, this game is going to take me way too long and I will lose interest. So a lot of articles are coming out and saying that the game picks up after you complete the main story. You can do new game plus and things like that. And a lot of stuff carries over. Again, that probably comes down to how you want to experience the game. I know once I roll credits, it will probably be hard for me to go back and do everything again, unless I'm trying to get achievements. Yeah, it's really like not my type of game, but I'm like the hype is here. I am having fun with it. It actually makes me want to go back and play Skyrim and try to see what that's about. So we'll see. But some of the things I know that exist that I have no experience with, like 12 hours in base building. I know you can build bases that will like harvest resources and things like that. There is ship customization. People are making like the Master Chief's ship and the Millennium Falcon and things like that in the game.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about that, but it's coming. I do know that I can board ships, and if I kill everybody on them, I can take over their ship. That's pretty cool. Stuff like that. Skill tree. The skills actually work in a pretty cool way. Every time you level up, you get a skill point, and there are like five different trees, from combat to science to health to something else. And there are different tiers within each one. You unlock the next tier by using so many skill points in the tier above it. And each one that you pick has, I think, five ranks. And you can use a skill point to continuously rank that skill up to make it better. However, there is a requirement on each of them that relates to that skill. So I'm trying to become better with rifles. And to do that means I need to level up my rifle skill. In order to do that, I have to use my rifle and get so many kills with it.
I love that.
Yeah. There's another one, like the boost pack that I put on. It gives me like a double jump kind of deal. And in order to increase that capacity of that boost pack, I have to boost so many times while I'm in combat. So you actually have to use these skills to make them better, which I kind of like. I get that. Sort of. It's a boost pack.
Oh, okay.
Like if I'm on a low gravity planet, I can get like a quintuple jump. So
I am beyond excited for this. I have been impatiently waiting for the official release.
It's officially released now.
Yes.
It is out.
In a couple hours, Fufu. It'll be released in like 3 hours once you start editing.
Oh, yeah, for you, once the podcast is out.
Yeah,
I know.
So wait a minute.
I don't want to edit this week. Hold on,
real quick. I have been tracking. So before we started this podcast, like literally like almost like an hour after the game came out, we started the podcast. There was like 85,000 people on TA.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
I just noticed that.
It's 100,000. Almost 100,000 people just on TA paid to play this early, right? And since we've been recording it, like, I don't know, 10,000 people or so have scanned in as it's launched more widely on regular Game Pass.
I just hit refresh on the Starfield page and it added 500 people.
Yeah. So it's no doubt that this is a big game.
Yeah.
And it's no doubt to me, even at where I'm at, that it's a good game. This is a good game. And I mean, there's a reason Microsoft bought Bethesda, and I think this is like a big part of that reason, and shows. And they were going to release this last year, and they made them take 10 months to polish it.
I'm so
and
happy.
To your bug comment, the only bug I've noticed is somebody fell from the sky, and like, I don't know. I guess they just loaded in the wrong spot. Everything else has been kind of what you would come to expect with a Bethesda game. Like, at least what I remember with Fallout, like you're talking to somebody and it's like right on their face. And if you had a crewmate with you or a follower and they talked, it would move to them. One of my crewmates, like, it looked like she was standing in front of the sun because she like had a light behind her. And like, that's not like a bug with the game. Like, that's literally where she got caught when I started that conversation and the camera's looking at her. So I like, it feels very familiar if you've played Bethesda, if you've played like Skyrim or Fallout games, it feels very familiar, but at the same time, it feels very, very polished for these types of games and this engine that it's running on.
I saw that Jez Corden, who's been playing this a bunch, before it was officially out and all that, he said that there were some performance issues that he didn't run into before, but only just recently. He said he thought they were related to Quick Resume. So
I'm not a believer of Quick Resume.
So. I know. I'm just saying.
It's going to be wrong.
Yeah.
If people see performance issues, you might want to look into that as an option.
You don't believe in it? It exists.
Quick Resume's great.
I have played on Xbox and PC. My PC is like not the top of the line, but it's not like the bottom either. Like I haven't had problems playing pretty much anything I wanted to off Game Pass. However, this plays at like medium to low settings, and it takes a lot longer for stuff to run. So it's not optimal for me to play on PC. However, if you have a top of the line, I have heard it runs a little bit better there. Like, it's faster load times, obviously, things like that. But the load times I'm experiencing on the Xbox Series X aren't terrible, especially going from like inside a building. It's pretty quick. If I'm trying to jump back to space to go to a planet, I might spin for 20 to 30 seconds.
I was going to say just a couple of notes from chat. Cooper said that there was 2 million players before it actually released.
I believe it. Like,
that is it, this wild. Game
is being talked about everywhere.
Go ahead and say what you were going to say. You said you're so bad or something like that.
Like my biggest qualm with the game, and it's really not this game. I want to say it's probably their other large RPGs as well. And you can talk to me about Skyrim if it's like this. But there is so much in this game.
Yes.
And they don't tell you everything.
Yes.
Like, it is up to you to figure it out. And that comes down to like the menuing system and figuring out how all that works. Like, I was to get from a planet, I would go to space, I would find the planet that I want to go to on the map, select it, and I learned pretty quick that you could do what they call a grav jump to get to that planet's solar system or orbit quicker, and then from there you land onto the planet and do whatever you need to do there. A lot of the times you can just hold the button. I think it's the B button. You have to check whichever one it is. And then it would just take you straight to it. Just like looking at the map, like if you press B, that backs you out of the planetary map into that star system. And if you back out again, it's like the larger solar system. And then back out again, and it takes you to like out of that screen. If you just hold B, it goes out all of that like really quick. So it's like stuff that you learn along the way that I'm finding is kind of like, oh, it'd be nice to know that, you know, 3 hours ago. But at the same time, it's still fun to, I guess, figure it out. Speaking of menuing, there is a lot of menuing that you have to do. But to kind of coincide with what I just said, I think as you play the game, you probably figure out better ways to do things.
Yes. So it's a Bethesda game. Bethesda has a very
formulaic way of doing things.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Elder Scrolls feels the same as Fallout, just different settings and with guns. I haven't been able to play this yet, but I just know that when I jump in, it's Skyrim in space. Now, when you first started talking, you mentioned that you're going to be done as soon as you roll credits. And I was just like, no. Like,
that's I say not that. How it, you play. It could change.
That's not how you play this game. These games. Like, Skyrim, you know, we're 12 years later. You can still find stuff in Skyrim that you haven't found before. These games are made in such a way that, okay, yes, here you have the main story. Here you have this side quest. Here you have these. They are meant to go to be to where, like, you start walking to go to that quest, and then you go squirrel, and you start going down this path, and then lion, and you start going down this path, and dragon, and this, and that, and this, and that. And you play for 6 hours, and then you go, oh, wait, I was in the main story. I need to go back there. And it's just, you just keep playing and playing and finding new things to explore. That's what I love so much about the Elder Scrolls games. Like, I have Oblivion complete. I have both versions of Skyrim complete. If they remaster Morrowind, I will complete it. Like, I adore the Elder Scrolls universe.
You're going to love this game.
I cannot wait for this. High fantasy is my favorite. Sci-fi is number two. I cannot wait to play this game.
Right. And what I've heard from other people, like, the main story is just like, okay, it's the side stuff and living in the world where the game really gets you.
Yeah, I meant to say that too. So in Morrowind, Oblivion, and Skyrim, the main story's good. It's cool. I enjoy it. I like playing them. All of the side quests, stuff like that, so much better than the main quests. There are random missions that you'll come across that, you know, you're just sitting in a bar and you overhear a conversation and that triggers a quest. And you go do that quest and it takes you down this path and it just has like this unique just quest line to it. It's, oh, they're just so good. There's so much to these games. And Skyrim was on the Xbox 360. It was 12 years ago. So taking that and now putting it on the Xbox Series X, I'm so excited. I can't wait for this.
The other thing about that, Fufu, is that like that happened to you. But if you could talk to 10 friends, it didn't happen to any of them. Like yes, that's how random some of these events are. I was listening to a podcast. They were saying that sometimes you get hailed when you're out flying around. And like he got hailed and they were like, hey, do you want to come to our party? And like... You want to come to a party on our ship? And the guy was like, this is clearly a trap. This is clearly a trap. They're going to attack me or something. And no, it was just a party. And they were like, hey, do you want to party with the anti-grav off? You want to dance around with the anti-grav off? And you can turn it off. And they're like, hey, he turned the anti-grav off. It's awesome. And there's just like lights going on and off. And like, you know.
Amazing.
So it's just like, just crazy. And then he was just talking about like all these other things that like he went and found like this off of the, you know, main quest line. It was just a space station that had been taken over by spacers, and they turned it into a casino. And there's just casino chips everywhere, and you know, this is just stuff. It's not even part of a quest. It's just like mm-hmm. you just find it out there. You just run across it. Now, Corey, I had two questions. The first one: how long did you spend creating your character?
Like 15. Minutes probably.
Okay, so you spent
not enough time.
That's a long time for you.
It is
yeah, a long time.
I'm normally a default character guy.
Ooh. Right. Okay. And then the second question is, how many potatoes do you have on your ship right now?
I knew you were going to bring this zero, up. Zero taters.
Zero taters. How many sandwiches?
I can't say that I found a sandwich. I quickly go over to it.
Okay.
I don't pick up a lot of food. If I see a med pack, I'll get it. But like food's like it restores 3 health, 5 health. I just like that's not enough for me to want to carry and manage. Unless there's a quick way to eat, no matter what food I have, eat it. I don't pick it up. Now that does remind me because that is part of like regenerating your health. You'll probably really appreciate this, Fufu. I jumped off of a ledge mm-hmm. that went to like an underground passage, and I don't know, it was probably like 2 stories high, but it's space, right? I did that. When I landed, I tore a muscle. I had to take special like antibiotics or whatever it is that cured torn muscles.
Interesting. So if I'm not mistaken, that's in Fallout.
Maybe. I don't know. I know I can get hypothermia. I can get like radiation poisoning if I don't have like my helmet on. Yeah.
See everything that you're saying is just like, yes, I like that. I want that.
It's the Starfield equivalent of an arrow to the knee is what you took.
Basically. Yeah, basically.
Everything you're saying, it's just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be in this game for 200-300 hours.
Are there difficulty sliders?
I don't recall any difficulty sliders.
All right.
I think it's just what you make of it. Yeah.
I only say that because every other Bethesda game has it.
Does it? Yeah. Well, if it does, I just kept it on normal. Yeah, I'll give it.
Ace of the North in chat is saying that there is a difficulty selection.
Okay. Well, there you go. I guess I'm playing on normal because I haven't moved it. It hasn't been too bad. This is a game. I kind of mentioned it a few weeks ago. We were talking about favorite features, but you have save slots. You better use them because if you don't, you're going to be set way back to wherever the last autosave is, which oh I think God, right yes. now it, I think it autosaves every time you like touch down on a planet or like go into like a main building that needs to be loaded, not like a sub little building. And it saves every time you exit, and then whenever you want to do a manual save. One thing I did know or notice, there's a quick save option as well. I don't really know like the difference between save and quick save, but I guess it's one less screen I have to look at. I don't know.
Quick save is just going to save over your most recent file, or it's going to create a new file, I should say. Whereas save, you can actually manually select which save you want to save.
That's probably a good point. You're probably right on that. Yeah.
Yeah, you just hit quick save and it's just going to start a new one.
Oh, Icefire told me quick save is one that saves quickly. Thank you.
Ah, of course.
Now, Corey, I don't know if you got the potato reference. Cooper, R56 Cooper, was talking about there's a story going around about a player that had 20,000 potatoes on their ship, and they just open the door and it falls out, which is a throwback. I think it's a throwback to the Skyrim cheese wheels. Yeah. So
is it? I saw it, and boy, did those potatoes look pretty. You know, it is like next-gen potato graphics. Like when they fall out of the door and the door closes and some of them don't make it, and it's, I don't know, it just looks so good. Next-gen
potato graphics. It's like L. That's what you describe L getting a new computer.
Yeah.
Sandwich.
Yeah, I'm enjoying this game. There's a lot to it that I have yet to experience, and I know people who have spent double my time and still have done less main quests than I have.
There's two completions on TA already.
They're probably cheated. There are a bunch of there's a level 100 achievement. And people are saying that takes a long, long time, and you'll probably have to play New Game +++++ to get to it or something like that. And if you look in the forum post, people are wondering how people did it, and there are console commands with the game. However, you use them, they mark your file, and you can't get achievements with them. However, there's something on PC where you can, like, I don't know, an external mod that can take that off. I don't know. TA Investigations in the forum said that the time earlier today, at least 80 of those 100 achievements, which were like 200 or something, were cheated. So, yeah, people are cheating the system. Wild West, though, is one that has probably the most TA on my friends list. And so I'm sure he'll be on the podcast and who knows, probably soonish. And he's probably has a lot more to say about it. He has visited every solar system in the planet or in the jealous game. And he said it was a fantastic time.
I can't wait to play this, man. I'm so impatiently waiting.
It's a good game, and it's going to... I haven't played all the other games, like some of the big games this year, but it should be in Game of the Year talks, at least, which I hope for Microsoft's sake it is.
Yeah. Man, only 50 achievements. I was hoping for more.
That's a good point. I haven't even looked at the number. That is not a lot, but it's a decent variety.
It's a lot. Not for this game.
WrestleQuest had 100, man.
Not everything's a Halo, Master Chief.
I think 100 is fair, though.
For a game that you can easily spend hundreds of hours in, a little more. And there's gonna be so much to do in this game.
Yeah. Just looking there, you gotta do a lot of lock picking. Lock picking is different in this game than any other lock picking I've ever done in a game, and it's kind of cool. You gotta use your brain a little bit. So yeah, it's fun stuff. This is a good game.
Jealous. I didn't play it early, and once again, just impatiently waiting. It's gonna be hard to go to bed tonight knowing that I could be playing it.
Yeah, I think I paid like $32 Game Pass discount to do the upgrade to play it early. But it also will give me the first DLC that when it comes out. So
right.
it seemed worth it. However, as Nate said, there's only about 350 games that just came out in the past week and 200 more in the next week that all look very fun. So way too much to play right now.
This is a great year for games. There's so many big, big releases this year. Game of the Year talk at the end, like, not just in our community, but like gaming as a whole is going to be very interesting on what games make it. Starfield. I don't know what else we can say about it as of right now. I mean, I could keep talking about how much I want to play this and whatnot, but we don't need to keep beating that horse.
I'll be interested to hear what you say next week, because if you get 15 hours in like me, I'm sure you're going to have a completely different experience.
Yeah.
And apparently, I'm looking at character stats. I've not slept a single hour in this game. That's pretty funny.
All right. Well, that was the game showcase. Let's go ahead and let's carry on with the show. Let's get into some sales. Goosh, why don't you go first?
Sure thing, because what people need now are more games.
Of course. There's not enough out there.
That's what everybody needs. Everybody wants to hear about new games. So I'm going to recommend three, depending on how you look at it. There's Remnant from the Ashes Complete Edition. This is $18 down from $50. It's an ARPG, role-playing, third-person shooter, roguelite, and it's got 1,500 gamer score. It takes about 75 to 90 hours based on TA, and it has three-player online co-op. So if you have a four-player, you've got to sneak around behind someone's back. I mentioned that because I've heard that this is just a really fun game. The whole Remnant series I've heard nothing but good things about it. So this is a great price to get everything in the second game, Remnant from the Ashes.
Oh, yeah. You were telling me about this game the other week.
Yeah. Yeah. It might be something that you're interested in.
Yeah. So I want to double up on his recommendation. This looked cool.
Yeah. Take a peek at that. And that price is pretty good to get all the DLC. For $18. Next up, the Back to Childhood Classic Games Collection. This is three games. It's Asterix and Obelix Slap Them All. It's Marsupilami Hoobaventure. That's all one thing. Marsupilami Hoobaventure. And then the Smurfs Mission Vileleaf. This is $20 down from $40 for three rather beefy games. They are in order. Asterix is a beat-em-up. Marsupilami, which is easy to say, is a platformer, and the Smurfs is also a platformer. And these are, you know, I've played the Smurfs, I've looked at Marsupilami, and I think I've heard from, I think Fug actually played that one. It seems like it's a pretty solid, like, Nintendo 64-ish type platformer, although, you know, it looks good. It looks better than that. But that's the kind of style, like the Mario 64 type platformer, if you're familiar with those. The collection was already a deal on three solid titles. And when you put it now the collection is on sale. So it's $20 for 3,600 gamer score and about 40 hours worth of gameplay. Just a word of warning on the Smurfs. It's a little bit hard to get all the collectibles. They don't do a great job of helping you find them in the levels. They do a good job of telling you what levels have collectibles and which ones you're missing in terms of number, but not location. So it's a little bit frustrating. There's not a whole lot of videos out there. There are videos, but they're not well done. Like I watched some video guides of certain levels and people were just clipping them together and they would like not do them in the logical order. So it's just like you kind of have played the levels a bunch and remember and be like, oh, this one's out of sequence and I have to go get it there. And finally, Under Dungeon, $5.60 down from $14. It's an action adventure. It's a black and white Zelda-like. Looks like it's got good humor. I picked this one up. I haven't played it yet, but just watching a video, you'll get a real quick feeling if this is for you or not.
All right.
Or go play Starfield.
Definitely go play Starfield.
Do what you want.
All right. I just have one game I'm going to recommend. There's so much stuff on sale. So much is on Game Pass. But one game that should be noted is Dust and Elysian Tale is on sale. Yes. We've talked about it. You know, 360 store is going down. So I personally am going to make a point to try to bring up non-backwards compatible games when they're on sale. Usually $15. It's $5 right now. So I know L has talked about it.
Everybody better buy this game.
Yeah. I know L's talked about it.
Yeah.
I can't remember if you guys have talked about it, but I know a lot of people like this game. So
yes, good call.
Worth picking up, especially if you care about not being able to play it later. L, you got anything you want to recommend?
Yeah. Looking over the list, I mean, there's a lot of repeat stuff like we always get. If for some reason you don't have the Keflings games, I know we talked about this. They're $3 each. Kingdom for Keflings and A World of Keflings. So much fun. Good. And they are backwards compatible, so you don't have to worry about them going anywhere. But it's such a good time. And a couple of people were asking for Kingdom for Keflings banner help. I believe at the adventure room. I don't know. One of the rooms. Anyone need banners? Let me know. I'll hook you up.
Yep. There's plenty of people that can help you. That's a good call. Keflin games are great. Isn't World on Game Pass?
I think you always ask me, and the answer is no.
You know, I do always ask that. Never mind. All right.
It is not.
Well, if you don't want to spend any money, there's no games available. Sucks to be you. Games of Gold is dead, unfortunately.
Aww.
The first month, or the first week of us not being able to say what games are free. Sad. Our dock is empty. So, we will go...
DPS Idol is free. You should play that.
Fair. DPS Idol
that works. Free.
There we go. So with that, let's just go to Game Pass. Out now is Sea of Stars. Gris.
Oh, and that's funny. So, like,
you say Grease?
No, I said Gris.
It's Grease. Oh.
I said Gris.
Grease. It's John Travolta simulator.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Starfield.
Tell me more. Tell me
Never
more.
Heard of it.
Available September 9th is Lies of P.
Pinocchio.
Which we should remind everyone that L made a big promise that he's going to play this as soon as it comes out. He's not going to wait for it to hit RTDL, and we're going to get a review on a Game Pass game. It's kind of beefy.
Good guy, L.
Good guy, L.
I don't know.
Good job, buddy.
I mean, it's only 36 gigs. I don't know how beefy it's going to be. We'll see.
On September 14th, we are getting Solar Ash. What? Never mind.
What? It's not a Pokemon game.
No, it's by the people who made Hyper Light Drifter, though. And it looks
pretty
good.
You know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
It must be Pokemon in space. No.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking.
I know.
On September 20th, we are getting Party Animals on the Xbox.
Looks like it could be good. Good party game.
I figured
you're... So next month's live show, Party Animal pre-stream.
Yeah, we've never gone wrong with those.
Hey, Cake Bash was fun.
Cake Bash was fun.
September 21st is Payday 3, which this actually looks fun. I've never played Payday 2, but they look fun.
I'd play it with a group.
Yeah, it looks like it's definitely going to be better with a group. And then on September 29th is Cocoon.
Wait, what?
It's like Coco
Melon.
I'm going to leave it.
Yeah.
An Annapurna interactive game. I know nothing about this. I assume Nate wants to play it.
Of course. It was on the Indie Showcase. I know Corey wants to play it too, or is at least interested in checking out more. It looked cool.
All right. In that case, we have a couple of games. Well, not a couple of games. We have a good bit of games that are leaving Game Pass. First up is Origami 2, a stealth game that's 20 to 25 hours. Then we have Danganronpa V3 Killing Harmony Anniversary Edition on the Xbox and PC. It's a visual novel. 80 to 100 hour visual novel. God,
sold.
There is a hell, and its name is awful.
What? This was accurately hypothesized by Frame last week, right?
I believe that was on his spreadsheet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, but he throws darts. I think the
DC League was... He doesn't throw darts. He actually...
Yes,
yeah.
He does.
No, he does came out a year ago. The old it's not flash that hard. Card on the stairs method.
And, there's percentages. It's science.
Yeah.
Let's see. We are also losing DC League of Super Pets, The Adventures of Crypto. All right, classic. This one's a two or three hour completion. You can get this one done.
Oliver can do this one.
Oliver could do this one.
Oliver and Company was, it's a kitty cat and a dog, I think. Aww, complete your first adoption. How sweet.
Then we have Fugga, Melodies of Steel. I'm calling it
your language.
I like that one better. Strategy management turn-based game. My God, this could not be more of a goose game. 40 to 50 hours too. Man,
it's got cool cover art. I'll give it that.
Three things Nathan's not like packed into one game.
It made me look at it. It made me look at it, and I said, strategy management turn-based. No.
I wanted to, but it's always been a back burner game, and I don't have time now.
Yeah. Something you should make time for is Metal Hellsinger. It has a stack, has the series version and the Xbox One. We are losing both. They're like 6 to 8 hours. I've talked about this game a couple of times. If you're a metalhead, you have to play this game. They are fantastic. If you're a shooter fan, a first-person shooter fan, there's enough there. I think you would like it. Brilliant games. Play them. Please play them. For me, play them. I want more games like this. I want this developer to succeed, and I really want this developer to put their original music on Spotify so I can listen to it, because it's so good. I can't talk about that game enough. We are losing Civ 6.
Ooh.
This sucks. I shouldn't have put that on the back burner for so long.
Well, it was a fun 37 minutes where I dived and put it on my tag.
Smart.
37 minutes. I feel like that was like nothing.
I feel like that was this year too. Like this was not on there for very long. March. It was in March of this year.
I feel like it's been there longer.
No, it was a 6 month go. Huh. Game Pass ads in March. Yeah, there's a news article. Yep. It's only been here for 6 months. That is sad.
I would have thought that would have been there longer. Hmm. Yeah, 6 months suck. Where are we? Tainted Grail Conquest on the Xbox and the PC. It's a roguelike collectible card game, card and board game. Everything card. 25 to 30 hours. We have Train Sim World 3 on the Xbox and PC. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's simulation of a train. 42 to 58 hours. That's such a weird number. Two unobtainables, one partially discontinued, and you have lots of paid DLC. And something else to note is that it is being delisted. So I guess if you really want to simulate a train game, get it now. And then lastly, God, there's been a lot of games that are leaving. This sucks. Amazing Cultivation Simulator.
Have you guys looked at this one at all?
I have never even heard of this. This is only on Windows.
Well, it's not surprising.
I don't do PC games, not for me.
It's not surprising you haven't heard about it. I think it's primarily written in Chinese. So I think there's a huge language barrier causing people problems. There's Discord servers where they have translations. There's a whole bunch of threads on that Discord server. And in Steam for trying to help people get through this game, there's guides and crazy stuff out the wazoo. 81 starters on TA, 3 completions. One has 1 hour and 47 minutes. Don't be deceived. The next person has 5 hours, 40, and the third person has 10 hours, 34. This is the type of game where it seems like there should be console commands.
It looks like it.
And if there are, people aren't talking about them. I wouldn't even start this. It looks like it's a headache. I was tempted. I was like, oh, come on, it can't be that hard. But this one's not happening, and I don't think you should be tempted. Just walk away.
That was all of the Game Pass leavings all around the 15th of September. So anything that you can't complete, get it now for 20% off. Nate, why don't you go ahead and give us the Gamer Tag Challenge wrap up?
Absolutely. So August is over. Our gamer tag, our patron gamer tag, was WildWest08. You may have heard him on the panel every now and then. His wild card game was any new achievement or previous completion in a game developed by Remedy was equal to one bonus draw maximum. And the bonus challenge here was alliteration achieved. Earning achievements containing alliteration in at least two consecutive words was worth one bonus draw. We had 16 participants, 126 letters were entered, 8 spelled gamer tags were completed, there were 6 wild cards used, and there were 119 bonuses logged. Our notable bonus people put in a lot of effort sometimes, Ben L72 had 10 bonuses, Chewy and Northern Last tied with 27, and Ace topped the list with 29. Northern Last, you have a new competitor. You and Ace are going at it. And Chewy's up there almost all the time as well. Our winner with four letters. Whoa. So not even a completed gamer tag. 4 letters, 4 achievements.
Wow.
Oz Buffanatic. Congratulations.
Nice.
Nice.
RNG likes you this week or this month.
I think he was with us in chat, so. Ah, there it is. Yeah. He heard it. Nice.
Nice. And congratulations.
GG.
Yay, period.
In September, our gamer tag is Hurricane Dale. He's a patron, and so we picked him. Wildcard games, any new achievement or previous completion in the simulation or management genre. That's just how much I love it that I'm going to proofread it. Bonus, how about this weather? Earning achievements containing something weather-related. Hurricanes, cyclones, rains, love wind, etc. Just put it in there. If it sticks, we'll go with it. We'll count it. If you want to ask questions, absolutely do so. I love the crazy questions I get to answer in the Gamertag Challenge channel. And if you have never joined, just hop in that channel. Ask questions there. We'll get you started if you want to go. I may start removing some people who haven't played in a couple months, just because that sheet is a little bit heavy. So, once again, congratulations, Oz Buffanatic.
I love the bonuses that you do. They're always great.
A lot of the patrons have been picking their own lately, and it's a lot of fun. That is good. For me, that's the most fun part.
All right. Well, it is the start of the new month. And with that, we will be getting into our patron drawing. And this month's lucky winner is not Big L. It is Mental Knight.
Oh, well.
Congratulations.
Mental.
Who I believe also is in chat with us.
If he doesn't say hi in the next 5 seconds, I get the...
Oh, there it is.
Okay, period.
Okay, period. GG. Thank you, Mental Knight, for your support. Thank you to all of our patrons for your support. We greatly appreciate it. Helps us keep doing all these contests and whatnot. And with that, let's get into Brag Camp. Take it away, Corey.
All right, for completions, we have Michael KV at 400 completed games, along with Kabo73 at 400 as well. Septic Earl, 650 completed games. Northern Last, 900 completed games. Alicia is at 1,300. Thrash Forever at 2,350. And Sangrius is topping us off this week at 3,050 completed games.
That's insane.
In streaks, RFC Ori. Not Corey, a 50-day achievement win streak. Wild West 08, 100 days. Scouted Reyes, 650 days. Ben L, 72, with 900 days and Big L with 3,900. Celebrating their 3-year anniversary win streak is Northern Lass.
That is insane, Al.
Thanks.
That's a good insane.
I agree.
And gamer score, Mr. Gompers has hit 650,000 gamer score. Michael KV, 700,000. Oz Buffanatic, 900,000. Bomber 37 has hit 950,000 gamer score along with Mattism. Alicia has hit 1.8 million gamer score. Snipe by a Girl has hit 2.3 million gamer score. And Mental Knight 5 has hit 2.6 million gamer score. My goodness.
Really, Mental? Really? That's a lot. In leaderboards, Gray Shark, who recently came back to the Discord, is in the top 10 of the Georgia GamerScore leaderboard. Mr. Ahizo in the top 5 of TIA leaderboard for card and board. Infamous is second in the TIA difference leaderboard for Game Pass. That's always funny to see Game Pass as a leaderboard, as a genre leaderboard or something.
I love it.
It's crazy. Oh, no, actually, he's first. He hit 2 and then number 1. TA difference.
Nice. Remember, that's rolling. That's rolling, too. So that's like what's active. So
I don't know what's happening.
So like if a game leaves Game Pass, that leaderboard alters?
Yeah, yeah. It's no longer considered for the leaderboard once it's gone.
Wow.
I love that. Being number 1 in that is really cool.
I wish that they had historical, too. Like if they had completions within the, you know, Game Pass time frame, I think that'd be a fun stat, too.
Yeah, historic and current. That's cool. That's a good idea. Someone make it happen.
And Prism Screwballs is top 20 of TA leaderboard for Hack and Slash.
Nice.
Get some more Hack and Slash games. They're fun. And nobody's tagged me for any brags in a while. Do something fun, people. Tag the Big L. He gets lonely.
He really does.
Yeah.
You have to take him out once a day, walk him, feed him, let him go poo.
You need to feed me way more than once a day, sir.
All right.
Go poo.
Those emotes in chat, Corey, are brilliant. I love them.
Thank you. They're not mine.
I figured as much. I figured you got them from another streamer.
There's a butt.
That's for Mental, not you.
It's shiny. And there's Pokemans.
Yeah, they're the ones I was more or less talking about.
Oh.
All right.
And Bray Wyatt. Oh.
Well, with that, thank you all for listening. This has been quite a show. I can't believe we went this long. Talking about games. Who would have guessed? If you aren't here with us in chat, what's wrong with you? You should be subscribed to us or at least follow on us on our Twitch, twitch.tv/AH101. Get that little notification for when we go live so you'll be able to see it. You can reach out to us on all the different social medias. Everything is down is down in a doc in the show notes with links to everything to make it nice and easy for you. To point out, discord.io/AH101.
Nope, don't go there.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Yeah. As I was saying, I remember that. We got to fix that. Don't do that.
Just do it.
Message one of us. We'll get you a link. Don't use that link. That might be bad.
Find us on TA.
Yeah, find us on TA. We'll get you a link to the Discord that's not going to be broken or hacked or anything like that. And then patreon.com/achievementhunting101. Once again, thank you to all of our patrons. Greatly appreciate you. Greatly appreciate you all, you guys being able to support us, let us be able to do all these crazy contests and whatnot. You are what makes the community go around. And there's a lot of contests out there. join the Discord. You'll be able to see everything that's there. But with that, thank you all for listening. Thank you for everyone that is in Discord with us, in Twitch chat with us, and off into some ducky races.
Ass dismissed. And everybody's saying it's time for ducky races.
Hello, once again, AH101. This is Nerdy Neo, and this is the August Year of the Vayner summary. Man, did August go by fast, or was it just me? I almost forgot to record this segment because I didn't realize we were already in a new month already. So, first off, the Vayner of the month for September is Superland 6 Inches Under, and it has 53 achievements and has a completion time of 15 to 20 hours and is on Game Pass and has cloud streaming. So, we should all pretty much be able to get that done this month if you are wanting to participate. August was the third best month we've had this year, completions-wise, with 31 completions. And the August Vayner of the Month was Fist, Forged in Shadow Torch, which was also the most completed game in the month, with 11 completions. The second most completed game was The Night Witch, and that's probably due to it having a free-to-play weekend. And there were 5 completions over that weekend, myself included. The gamers with the most completions in August was Jay Huns in first with 6 completions, and then a 3-way tie for second between Nightwolf, Scaravese, and Skeptical Mario with 3 completions each, and in third, another 4-way tie between I Am Make Poop 24/7, myself, Neo21, Wheezy Fuzz, and Z Drunken Monkeys with 2 completions each. Some notable shout-outs was Jay Huns was 4th on TA to complete 8 doors. He was also 3rd to complete VisionSoft Reset and is now 3rd in Vayner's Played and also, more importantly, Vayner's Completed. Play Ultimate is now in the top 10 in Vayner True Achievement Difference. Ace is now in the top 50 for Vayner Gamer Score. Skeptical Mario now has 100% completion in all Xbox 360 Vayners, and Z Drunken Monkeys was the first of our group, but 41st on True Achievements to complete Blasphemous 2. For stats, in first place for True Achievements score earned in August is I Make Poop 24/7 with 7,635. In second place was Z Drunken Monkeys with 7,563. In third was Nightwolf with 6,865. And in fourth was Jay Huns with 6,787. For gamer score earned, in first was also I Make Poop 24/7 with 3,240. In second was Scaravese with 3,005. Third was Nightwolf with 2,960. And just 10 points behind that, and fourth was Z Drunken Monkeys with 2,950 gamer score. And lastly, for achievements earned, in first place was I Make Poop 24/7 with 131 achievements. In second was Z Drunken Monkeys with 114. And third was Skeptical Mario with 93 achievements. All right, well, that does it for August. Everyone get those completions, specifically Superland 6 Inches Under, done in September. And we'll talk to you again next month.